Good afternoon, everyone. Well, one of these days the sun will come out, right? Tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow. Well, this past Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about that, and but also it's Passover on April the 18th, I guess Friday night. Going to want to talk a little bit about that too, and confine it to something rather small point. So, my point of this sermonette is that doing God's will—that's a lesson from Passover. Doing God's will. And I remember when I was a child going to Sunday school and listening to the preacher after Sunday school and. On Easter Sunday, there would always be a big crowd on Easter Sunday. And I was trying to think back on the lessons I had learned from Easter, celebrating Easter. Of course, it was always a lot of fun for kids, you know, hunting for Easter eggs and getting sacks of candy or baskets full of candy and things like that. That's not changed too much, I guess. And one of the things that seemed was a lesson that I learned, had to unlearn it later, was that Christ was resurrected on Sunday morning, right, around sunrise. And that's what observing Easter, that's what you learn when you observe Easter, one of the things. And another thing, though, that seemed to be a lesson that was kind of comforting was that, well, everybody does this. All my friends, all the family and relatives and everybody in the neighborhood and the town and village and everybody that I knew of kept Easter. And so that's quite a bit different now, isn't it, with the Passover. Hardly anybody keeps the Passover. Just a very few people. You know, back in about, close to 200 years after A.D., I guess, that there was a quite of controversy about Easter and Passover and which one should be kept. And, of course, you know who won, but nevertheless, there was quite a struggle and people had to stand up and be counted and some were persecuted and some had to end up moving their families and so forth. One of the people who was willing to stand up, and I want to quote from his letter. He wrote it to the Pope in Rome, and was the name of Polycrates. He was the bishop of Ephesus. And one of the things that he wanted to do was to keep the Passover. And so this is a letter he wrote to Rome. Rome was trying to force them to keep Easter. This is what he said. As for us, we scrupulously observe the exact day, neither adding nor taking away. For in Asia, which is where he was considered himself a part of, or in Asia, great luminaries have gone to their rest, who shall rise again in the day of the coming of the Lord. And I speak of Philip, one of the 12 apostles, John, moreover, who reclined on the Lord's bosom. Then there is Polycarp, and these all kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. Kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, in accordance with the gospel, without ever deviating from it, but keeping to the rule of faith. And so that's preserved in Volume 8, the Anti-Nicene Fathers. And that was someone who was fairly brave. He was determined, at least in that part of his life regarding the Passover, to do God's will regardless of the consequences. And as I said, later on then, when a man by the name of Constantine got to be head over the Roman Empire, and he was eventually ruler over the entire Roman Empire for a number of years, and he wanted there to be peace in his empire. He didn't want there to be contention about things, religious things, and He himself had a certain inclination which he favored. And so he called together a council of Nicaea. And they determined that Easter Sunday should be kept by all Christians, and that no one should keep the Passover, no Christian should. Later on, since they were still having problems with that, he decided that he would enforce that. And so he got involved as the head of the Roman Empire and decided that, dictated basically, that anyone who was a heretic and that would keep the Passover rather than Easter, well, their assemblies, their buildings would be taken over and turned over to the Catholic Church, and that they wouldn't be permitted to meet anywhere, either in public or in private, if the Roman Empire knew about it, to observe the Passover. And so that was a time of persecution following that, following his edict. And a number of people had to leave the confines of the Roman Empire, at least of where they had authority and power. But a number of other people decided that it really wasn't worth it, wasn't that big a deal, and so they would go with the Catholic Church and keep Easter. So there have been a number of people in God's church, a number of people that God has used down through the years, the centuries and so forth, that have had to suffer persecution. If you'll read in Hebrews, the faith chapter, well, you first read of people who had deliverance. Noah, of course, had deliverance from the flood. Abel, Enoch, and then it talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and a few others. And they all had very positive things happen to them, even though they went through severe trials. But in this life, they came out fairly good. And then toward the end of Hebrews, it talked about, and still others were tortured. You know, some of God's people have been tortured through the year for doing God's will. They were tortured or suffered death or just persecuted and had to leave and get out of the area. You know, God's people, even in this time, this age, have had to suffer various things. I know when I first came into the church, God's church, called the Worldwide Church of God, back in the 70s, and heard people relate stories about what had happened to them when they came in the church. Sure that when we meet for the night to be observed, some of the stories we'll relate to one another about how we came into the church, how we came to be called, circumstances. But nevertheless, some people gave up houses because they were fired from their jobs for keeping a Sabbath day, for example, or a holy day. And they hadn't built up leave. And so the option was either come to work or stay home and don't come back at all. So people have had to make hard choices down through the years. And that's a lesson from Passover, because I want to read to you about in the Bible, turn to Matthew 16, if you will, about one individual who had to make a very, very hard choice. A harder choice than any of us will ever have to make, and that's just as well. None of us would want to have to go through what he did, but he did it for us, and he did it also so that God's word would be fulfilled. You know, you can count on God. Whatever he says, he'll bring it to pass. It's not like some individual that we know that may want to keep his word because of circumstances just can't do it. God does. He keeps his word no matter what. So turn to Matthew 16 and verse 39, if you will. Matthew 16, verse 39. And this was after the Passover ceremony that Christ celebrated with the 12 disciples. And he went out into a garden to pray because he knew what was going to befall him thereafter. He knew what was ahead, just very directly ahead. And so in verse 39 it says, he, Christ, went a little farther away from the apostles because they were tired and sleepy, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, you would think that once would have been enough, but it was bearing on his mind very deeply. And so he went back again. Verse 42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, in verse 44, he said, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So Christ, three times, asked his Father if there may be another way, because he knew what was ahead. Christ is the one who inspired Isaiah, for example, to talk about what he would have to suffer. His visage, his features, his face was more marred than any man. He took beatings for us so that by his stripes we could be healed. And he knew what he was going to have to go through in advance. You know, he had not dwelled on that during his ministry, but now when it came right down to it, he knew it was just a few hours away until he would be going through that. And so he prayed very, very fervently. And the Bible says his prayer, his sweat was like drops of blood. He may have actually sweat blood when he was praying because he was so under so much stress, knowing what was ahead. Let's turn, if you don't mind, turn to Psalms, and we'll read what this same being, the Word who became Jesus Christ, inspired David to say. Psalms 22. Psalms 22 and verse 16. Actually, Psalms 22 and Isaiah 22 and 23, or 52 and 53, have quite a bit to say about what Christ went through. But here in Psalms 22 and verse 16, he says, "For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked enclosed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet." So he knew that that was going to happen. He knew that his hands and feet are going to be pierced. In verse 17, "I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me." And so he was beaten to the point, you know, and the whip or the lash that the Romans used to beat him had little pieces of bone and metal at the end, and so they would rip away the flesh. And so after a while of doing that, you know, the bones were revealed, so he could actually see those. Jesus Christ, though, was willing to go ahead and do God's will. He said, "Not your will, but not my will, but yours be done." And so he suffered horribly for us, so that we could be healed of physical sins, so that we could be healed of spiritual sins and problems, so we could have our sins forgiven. Christ was willing to do that. And so we will see from time to time that we have to go through various trials, and some of them may seem very difficult to us. But in this Passover season, I think it's, as we're approaching it, it's good to reflect upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ a little bit and realize that he went through a great deal for us. But he was willing to do, and that's a lesson that we can learn from him and implement in our lives. And he was willing to do God's will no matter what, even no matter what it cost him personally. He placed God's will above his own. So that's a lesson from Passover for us.